historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this rainy Monday morning, May the 16th, 2022, 16 minutes past the hour. 55 degrees, cloudy skies here in Marion. And you know, I love our introduction here on this station. We've used it for many years. My dear friend Ted Williams did that for us many years ago. But there's just something about the last week that I just don't think that introduction is right for us anymore. I don't think that's the right one. I think we need a new one. Do we have a new introduction?
Good day, and welcome to Now with Scott Spears, broadcasting live on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM from the beautiful Marion, Ohio, the only city in America with a porta potty conveniently located in front of a mausoleum. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, running a little late because of the restroom in front of the mausoleum's door was hanging open and caused a 23-car pileup on Mount Vernon Avenue. Here he is, Scott Spears.
Ted,
doing well. What is this about a mausoleum porta potty? You know.
Well, let me lay it on the line so I don't misrepresent this. But we're getting a new Del Taco here in town, and they've been building it. It's next door. Right. It's a property next door to the mausoleum. A very small property in between the mausoleum and a Perkins restaurant. And I'm sure that this porta potty was put in for the people working on the Del Taco. But they put, the buildings are so close together, they put it near the road, and they put it on the side where the mausoleum is. So, so when you drive down the road, which is the busiest road in Marion, Mount Vernon Avenue, now you see a porta potty sitting right out there in front of the mausoleum.
My goodness. Now the dead will wake up and come alive to use the porta potty.
Well, yeah, the irony of this whole thing is the month of May, Memorial Day month, is probably the month the mausoleum's the most visited.
Absolutely, absolutely. All of our veterans and all. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, man, only in America.
Now, am I the only one who finds this odd?
No, absolutely not. I'm sure some of your listeners, as well as residents there, many other residents in Marion, find that a little odd. Of all the places to set a porta potty, and like you said, probably the space is limited or whatever, that they would erect a porta potty next to my. I'm sure anyone who's in that mausoleum with family members come there aren't too happy about that.
Well, and again, I want to say I'm probably sure that the porta potty is on the Del Taco property. It's just inconveniently located. Well, and I went by there this past weekend, and the door was hanging wide open.
I tell you, man. The homeless will find that very, very appropriate, you know.
Well, I think if they don't move it with it by Memorial Day, I say you and I do a remote broadcast from the porta potty.
Absolutely, and see if it's some of the dining patrons that's going to the restaurant, or whether there's ghosts at night or something. I don't know. Why would you a porta potty next to a mausoleum?
Yeah, well, you know, and I said last week when I first noticed this, I said, you know, the thing about it is, I don't think this would have happened 20 years ago because people would have, because I don't think this was done on purpose. I just think people were more aware of their surroundings.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
To me, it's kind of like people who wear jeans to a funeral. That wouldn't have happened 20 years either. 20 years ago, either.
Yeah. Come on, kid. Come on, use the toilet. Go over there by that tombstone.
Well,
don't be scared.
You know, Ted, we've never told. This is an interesting thing near Memorial Day here, but when you do go, you know, 50 years from now, how do you want to go? Mausoleum, cremation, burial?
Probably cremation. You know, Kathy left here. I have ashes right now, both in a little memento. I hang the cross around that's full of her ashes. And, you know, I think I'd like to be set side by side with her, you know. I'll tell you what, you know, this is a funny thing that we're on this subject because day before yesterday, you know, I got out of the hospital yesterday, and, I'm telling you, I have a flu bug like you would not believe it. It probably was a little bit of pneumonia involved as well, but I couldn't breathe, and I was talking to people from time to time before going in, and, you know, I would do one of these, and bam, I know you're listening. Don't hear this, but a little bit of phlegm would shoot out, and I mean, it hit it persistently, constantly, and all that stuff. And so, I had very bad congestion. I thought I was having a heart attack. I couldn't breathe or nothing. So it wasn't COVID, listeners. I don't want y'all to think that because they did test me, tested negative, and all that good stuff. But my God, Scott, so I'm feeling a lot better. And but back to what you were saying, probably. Cremation.
Well, I'm glad to hear that everything turned out okay, because we had a conversation the Friday before the election, and it was a very fruitful conversation, and then Ted went away, and the listener said, well, what happened to Ted? And I said, you know, I don't really know. Well, now we know.
Now you know. And I want to thank all of the listeners. Well, probably didn't know up until now, but a lot of personal people that did a lot of praying and all that. I wasn't ready to go, but, you know, sometimes you never know what God has in store for you or how your mental health conditions handle or cope with situations that presently involve a lot of depression or, you know, depression is so terrible. It takes a lot of lives, whether it's suicide or whether it's just worrying yourself to death. It's terrible. And I'm going to have a mental health assessment with the Veterans Administration Hospital. So that I could, Butrin was a narcotic that was, or a medicine, should I say, that was prescribed to me on a daily basis, but it made me feel so lethargic. I couldn't, you know, think straight. I just was like Thorazine. Back in the days, Thorazine was a definite medication for people with depression or mental health issues. Thorazine would just make your tongue out, you just slobber on yourself, you... Like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Jack Nicholson was in that psychiatric ward, and all of them were just walking around like zombies.
Well, Ted, I want to talk about this because back in the month of April, not even 30 days ago, the mother of the legendary singing group, the Judds, the mother of actress Ashley Judd, died, and we found out Friday, just this past Friday, Ashley Judd did an interview with Diane Sawyer, and Diane Sawyer did a great job, but we found out that it was a suicide with a firearm. And we had just talked about suicide, that you had had these thoughts recently. It's not an uncommon thing.
No, it's not, especially with our younger set of, our young people, it always seems like there's no way out in whatever situations you're in. You know, alcohol and, of course, drugs contribute to a lot of depression situations, but not in my case now that I'm almost 11 years sober. I'm just not where I thought I would be, or I've let people take advantage of me where I'm supposed to forgive, you know, turn the other cheek and all of that. You know, it just hits me all at once sometimes, and that's what it is. Depression can happen so quickly, just when you think, you know, you're doing okay, and then all of a sudden you'll have thoughts of, what's going on? You know, am I worth anything? What's my self-worth? And, you know, and then suicide pops in, and then you're trying to think about it. And this is what hits me with the suicidal thoughts. is that I think I just lay and ponder over the thoughts of how do I want to go. Now, you mentioned a firearm in Judd's situation. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, do I want to shoot myself? How about carbon monoxide? No, I don't think that. You know, then I start thinking about people who have attempted to commit suicide and ended up mentally a vegetable. You know, I wish the bullet bounced off a cranium muscle or something, and they didn't die that way. And they, or overdosing with medications and drugs. Well, no. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking like, Lord, is this how I want my kids, or is this what I want to leave on the earth? Like Robin Williams did, the most prolific actor and comedian and all of those things. And then the last talk we have of him is that he hung himself. You know?
Well, the thing with Ashley Judd, the interview on Friday, if anybody saw it on Good Morning America, apparently she had went over that morning. She had seen her mother. Her mother asked her to stay. She did. Her mother was in her bedroom. I guess she was in her bedroom, the mother's bedroom with her. A friend had come over, so Ashley went down to let the friend in, and when she went back up, the mother was gone. And the next day, she was to be inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. That, I mean, it's just, and she knew she was going in the Hall of Fame the next day. That's how bad the depression and the suicide turned out to be. And Naomi Judd, 6 years ago, I think, wrote a book about this and had went on talk shows and talked about her depression and anxiety and how she did have suicidal thoughts. And then to have this happen, it's just, it must have been an impulse, I would guess. There must have been no sign that that was going to happen, or I don't think the daughter would have left her up there.
And that's just it. It's an invisible situation in some cases where you never know what's on a person's mind in the course of a day. Now, you know, things can just surface all of a sudden at once. You're just in this depressive mode. I personally had a friend of mine who jumped off a six-story building, but in New York, and he was dealing with situations where he wasn't able, no matter what income level you're at, or no matter what kind of popularity status, celebrity status, or whatever, it can hit anyone or any person's loved one. You know, it's always good to be in a cheerful mood, but you know, a person can smile on one side, the tears of a clown, so to speak. Smokey Robinson sang that song. You know, people say I'm the life of the party, but you just don't know what's going on in my head.
You know, Ted, not to become too to the point here, but just to kind of explain the situation, that it is an impulse. You say you've laid in bed and thought about it. How close did you ever come to that situation?
You know, Scotty, I came close very, very. I was going to overdose. I was going to take some sleeping. You know, that's the way I figured I'd go out if I did. That's what I came up to. But I took like, seven aspirin. I think it was Tylenol. And I was trying to go out like that. Somebody said, I was looking at television, and somebody on the television said that you would convulse before you actually let the next convulsion just steer me away. But I had like taking a bunch of Tylenol, tore my stomach up as a result of it. And that's about as close I got. I was going to take the whole bottle.
So when
this was about 10 years. I'm sorry, about 7 years.
So yeah. you actually, when you took this Tylenol, you were checking out.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was gone because I felt like you know. And then I started, and then there's the upside to it is that when you feel like you know you're really going to leave here, and you're going to say goodbye to the world. I started coming to, and I could just. Not what God intended for me to do. By then, I'm feeling sick to the stomach and all of those things, and I'm saying, Lord, please help me, you know, come through this. My spirituality kicks.
So your belief in God and spirituality is what has stopped you?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And then, along with this, just as of recent, when I was talking to you off camera, off the air, I told you, you know, I had to think about there's always someone in this world that is worse off than you. Be grateful for every minute that you're here on earth because we're all here for a reason. We're all here with a purpose, you know. We all possess gifts and And, you know, God is with you. God is with you. Don't let the devil just steer you in that direction, because, you know, I still got some work to do. I still have a mission to accomplish in all of this. You know, second chances, you know, be an advocate for the homeless, you know, be the voice that, you know, is voiceless. And,
well, absolutely.
And I'm here to be with Scott Spears and the Marion, Ohio listeners of WWG.
Well, that's one news report I don't ever want to give. So, yeah.
Let's spare you the grief.
Yeah.
I know. Let's go back.
Let's go back to something happy.
Yeah. I was talking about yesterday, you and I had a conversation about the gubernatorial race, the primaries in the gubernatorial race, and you said that, how many challenges did you say the two mayors of Cincinnati and Dayton had acquired?
Well, it's interesting because the last conversation we had was right before the primary, and Governor DeWine did win his Republican primary, but with only 48% of the vote, so he will be the Republican nominee. But Joe Blystone, who had no political experience, kind of a farmer slash let's call him a businessman, down in the Columbus, Ohio area, won 22 of the 88 counties of Ohio, 22% of the vote, against an incumbent governor.
Wow, that speaks a lot about our Ohio voters, to the party itself. Wow, 22 counties, and then so that still remains 52% undecided, for the most part, in terms of the actual vote.
They went to other candidates, but the worry is now for Mike DeWine is if in his own primary, his own Republican primary, he can't even get half the votes when he goes to the main election in the fall, which, by the way, we should mention that on the Democratic side, there was history made that night. Nan Whaley, the mayor of Dayton, got the nomination on the Democratic side, and she is the first woman ever to win the nomination of a major party in Ohio for governor.
Wow. Wow. Now, I have to tell you, Kamala Harris is probably smiling.
Hillary Clinton as well, probably somewhere along the line.
Absolutely. And Ms. Pelosi. You know what? I don't mean to jump subjects because I want to get back to the political race, but what I wanted to say was, excuse me, how can with this baby formula situation that we're going through, the shortage and all that, how in the world can we invite so many immigrants from maybe Cuba, Ukraine? I mean, not Cuba. We're going back to the Cuban crisis. From Mexico, Mexico and Ukraine, and I'm not knocking it, but how can we appropriate $40 billion when our babies are going to come back with so many vitamin deficiencies, and all they're talking about homemade formulas and as an alternative, and you got the FDA and everybody saying no, don't make no homemade formulas. Man, everybody just ought to go and be breastfed. Well, you know, if that's what it's going to come down to, set aside all of your vices and all of your intakes, make yourself real healthy for your fat little babies, you know, that come out at 5 pounds, 6 pounds. Get that breast milk ready, girl.
Well, Ted, I have to ask you, now that we know what the race is going to be, you've got incumbent Governor Mike DeWine on the Republican ticket, Nan Whaley, first woman getting the nomination of a major party on the Democratic ticket. What do you see for the governor's race in the fall?
Well, you know, I'm going to try desperately to get me an aide of some sort, and I want to, Ross Perot, and back in the days as Donald Trump, which we didn't expect him to win, but he won. You know, I want to go and try to find me some support, and I'd like to be somewhat of a press relations director or some kind of aide of sorts in the governor's and take my shot at it at seeing how many people would trust the idea of a person with very little experience in politics, but has a lot of experience with some of the conditions and things that other people, have experienced or suffered from, and all. And be an advocate of sorts in the governor's cabinet or whatever situation that I could be placed in. Media consultant, not consultant, but media person of sorts, a PR person for the governor. I'd like to work in the governor's office, if not what's that guy's name that was a wrestler and he's a Ventura?
Governor Ventura, yes.
Yeah.
So,
and Huckabee.
Yeah, Huckabee. Now, so would you be more toward the Nan Whaley Democrats or the Mike DeWine Republicans?
No, Democrats. So
at this point, Ted, are you saying you want to work in the governor's office? Because, you know, last year you did have the week or so there where you ran for governor, and when we talked back in I guess it was late April, you had said you were contemplating a write-in candidate because you were not particularly satisfied with either side. So where are we at this point?
Well, I still have those ambitions, you know. I still have those thoughts that come through, you know. There's no local races that I would be interested in trying to take upon, but to become a certainly not a governor, but and who knows, you know. There'll be so many people who would be enlist upon my group of people or my entourage that would help me make ends meet when it comes to the political experience part of it. I believe that. I do know some people, and you know some people that we had, you know, Governor Strickland, former Governor Strickland, and that lovely, I forget her name sometimes, but Marianne Withrow, you know, that could give me some advice or let me know, you know, what my chances would be in certain areas and counties, what are the really hard issues to hit in some of the rural counties. You know, I don't want to go down in the Appalachians and get hung, you know, trying to politic.
Yeah. Well, Ted, and just to clear this up once and for all, we talked about it at one point. What was the reason you decided not to run for governor? Because there was a lot going on at that time.
Well, you know, excuse me, my manager, then manager, no longer to be, but, you know, he thought it was somewhat of a laughing matter and said that I'm not going to get this vote. I'm not going to, you know, and there were a lot of people that encouraged me, I must say, Scotty, when I was that, when the AP reported that I would be running as a candidate, a write-in choice, you know, there were a lot of supportive people out there like, wow, you know, you could do this, you could do that, because some of the issues that were concerning me more so than any of the candidates was, you know, the housing, fair housing laws, privatizing prisons instead of rebuilding our schools, and the homeless situation, you know. It's become an atrocity in certain areas of the state of Ohio, as well as other cities and so forth. The homeless people have turned their blind eyes enough, and I'm done with it, because, you know, not just a person standing on a highway exit ramp holding a sign constitutes our homeless situations, you know, feeding the homeless, clothing the homeless, helping them get housing. You know, there's so many surrounding issues, and I want to address them. And like I said, our schools are so far behind when it comes to getting up-to-date books and facilities. I went to the bathroom in the school the other day, man, and it looked like a kid had to hold the urinal with one hand and then pee in the, you know, hold their junk, you know, with the other hand. And I'm like, my God. And then you expect this kid to go in and learn when they're frightened to even go to the restroom. Maybe we'll send them over there on 23 to the mausoleum.
You know, Ted, and to just put a period kind of on this whole situation, because I was thinking about this over the weekend. Last year when you announced that you were going to run for governor, you did that on my show, and the Associated Press picked that up, and it was, you know, in your own voice. It was an interview we had done that particular February, and then WBNS, I believe, was the group that reported that you weren't running, and it was interesting because I pulled it up this morning, and it said in an emailed statement, Williams said this was something that should have never been released, and it was just an idea. He admitted that a few months ago, with the excitement of it all, he let a friend and radio colleague talk him into running for office, which is not what he wanted to do. Did you ever talk to Channel 10?
No, I never did. Never did. And now that you just brought that to brought it up on the surface, you know, you're making me wonder. You know, there's so many people who are trying to be a part of my career choices and things that I've made, and you know, propositions that have been given me over the years. But they just make their own statements. As my own. So at least somebody's right now trying to run my social media, my Facebook, you know.
So just to be clear here,
So
just to be clear, you never spoke with anybody at Channel 10, and those comments that were emailed to them, you didn't email those to them.
No, I didn't. No.
Yeah. Well, and that's interesting because Channel 10 has been a long-term, very popular, accurate station in Ohio. I can't imagine without speaking to you directly that they would run that story.
Yeah, right. Gentleman that worked for the Columbus Dispatch, if I'm not mistaken, the Columbus Dispatch was owned by WGN, is that correct?
They were at one point. I think they still are, yes.
Okay, I said that to say this. Maybe they had a talk with my management team, but to directly address an email to WBNS, I think that was somebody taking it upon themselves to speak to me.
So it, just these two statements, and I want to read them again. In an emailed statement, William said, this was something that should never have been released. It was just an idea. He admitted a few months ago, with the excitement of it all, that a friend and a radio colleague, he let a friend and a radio colleague talk him into running for office, which is not what he wanted to do. Is any of that accurate, or did you email that?
No, I did not email that, Scotty, and those are not my words. And I would never put blame or to make anyone feel like I'm that weak that someone can talk me into something that's out of my interest or the things that I wanted to talk about in terms of, you know, it started off as a thought, then it became somewhat of a little joke. You know, what if Ted became governor? You know, the golden voice is the choice. That was my campaign, slogan that I wanted to use. I just wanted to see just how many people would have somewhat of a little faith in, well, what the hell, let's vote for that dude. He was good. He thought much, you know, for whatever reason. And then it became somewhat of a laughing matter to people that surrounded the whole situation. So I got I backed out of it. And I gave you the exclusive in terms of why I made that decision, because there's so many public offices that I probably would have. Could have gotten on the tickets and so forth, because everybody, you know, I was going to say, whenever you type in on your telephone, homeless emoji of me popped up. Now, I am a poster.
Well, it's interesting, Ted, because we had a talk. We did have a talk last night when I was booking you for this morning. That this Blystone guy who won 22 counties. I mean, isn't it amazing that a man with zero political experience against an incumbent governor can win a quarter of the counties in Ohio?
Yeah, that's not only very interesting on how people do and vote and think and all of those thoughts involved in the voting process. But, with very little of that level of political experience and all that, I wish them well, you know, and maybe they have a political agenda, or should I say a roadmap to what they want to accomplish with the states in various counties. You know, things differ in each county, their needs and their concerns and their wants and all of that. Every county has their own political agenda in terms of trying to address those issues, but I don't want to play a bunch of semantics and use that as my whole card. You know, I find that to be very, very true in most political situations where they just do a lot of wordplay, you know?
Well, and just to kind of put a period on this, just out of your own mouth without anybody else speaking for you.
I did not email WBNS,
right.
NTV. Is that what I'm...
But also, have you ruled out at this point being a write-in candidate for governor this fall?
No, I have not ruled that out. Nobody would want to hear that the governor shot himself to death or anything of that nature. But, of course, nobody expected a very renowned country singer to do the same, or a very renowned, to me, I think was the epitome of comedy, Robin Williams. You know, I still revere his love, the kind of person he appeared to be on the screen and off the screen. You know, funny man, all God's gifts were given to that man as far as I'm concerned. And for him to have done what he did, things must have really, really pondered in his mind many days, you know, many hours.
So it'll be kind of interesting because as we head into the fall, haven't ruled out the position of being a write-in candidate, but would field interest calls from the Nan Whaley group, possibly do something with her campaign, and if she should become governor, work maybe as a press secretary. So are you, at this point, do you feel you're endorsing?
I would love to endorse, yes.
Nan Whaley.
Even go as far as Whaley.
Okay. Well,
I would love to. The historic values of it as well as the campaign issues.
Now,
I would,
it's interesting because Nan Whaley being the first woman to get the nomination of one of the parties, and somebody ought to check the history on this. Have we ever had an African-American get the nomination of one of the two major parties? Have we ever had an African-American governor? Not that I know of.
I'm thinking about that. The governor of New Jersey. No.
Now, does that bother you? Because I know Nan, this is history, but does it bother you that here we are over 200 years into Ohio and we've never had a woman governor and we've never had an African-American governor?
Listen, we've never had an African-American president. Thank God that Barack Obama had the courage and, of course, he was fearless about his campaigns and, got all of his facts together. I know there were a lot of people that were very unhappy about us getting a black president in the United States, whether it be in the state of Ohio, whether it be Kentucky or any other. But he had the courage. He had the people are still talking about how Biden works under his puppeteer. He's a puppet of Barack Obama, at least the administration. But yes, it does bother me that we have not had a woman or an African-American person as a governor to run the state, because it would be very interesting to find out what concerns, and because they say, they talked about Barack Obama being a senator over there in Chicago or Illinois, and he did nothing for the blacks in his own state that supported him widely, and he did nothing for African-Americans in his administration. In the Chicago area, in that particular area that supported him the most. And so it makes me mad that sometimes we elect officials that don't address the concerns of the people who actually put them there.
Ted, it's interesting because you are in the media game. You've always been in the media game, the broadcast business, talking about wanting to work as a press secretary here. And I just want to come back to this WBNS thing for one more minute, because it's interesting to me. This is a big station in Columbus. What does it say to you about WBNS that they never heard an interview in which you made those comments? They never reached out to you personally. They never confirmed it in any way, and now you're saying you didn't say these things. What does that make you think of a respectable news organization?
Well, I have to tell you that I'm very surprised that they would release information like that, not verifying or at least establishing a line of communications with me to find out whether that was me personally making those statements. But what I am surprised about is, or thing to know, that they would let social media govern my replies or my statements, release them without one person, not one person reaching out to say, hey, is this true? Like you're reaching out right now, Ted. Listen, I researched and got an email that they had received from you. No, they didn't receive nothing from me. I always respond with a smiley face and a and stars. I don't know if you got emojis anywhere on your phones that has that. But it's a smiley face, and it has stars in the glasses. I do wear corrective lenses, and so that's my little signature. It's me. People know that it's me.
Well, and it's interesting because you made the announcement on this station, and the Associated Press reported that right, and that was in your own voice, but yet WBNS did not reach out to me to get a hold of you, which I certainly would have done.
And you have my hotline. The one person I want to tell you, and maybe that's what it was. There was somebody hating on you that wanted to report that I got talked into that. Scott Spears, I love you to death. You know I do. And I think God knows I love you and your station family, Angie and Dawn and the rest of the gang. But I can honestly say that they would have reached out to you more so than even my management team, or even by taking it as a management statement and assuming, well, that's the person that's running his life and this, that, and the other. Scott, and let it be known that, again, personally, I'm endorsing you as my public relations person or my manager, whatever you'd like to call Scott Spears. You're a very fine person. You're a very nice person, but he, without saying, let him cast the first stone. I'm not putting you up on no big pedestals, but I will say this. You are my broadcasting brother.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, when I read that statement, and like I say, I don't know if it was somebody who was angry with me. If it is, get in line. But the funny thing is, I said, I've known Ted for a decade at this point.
Get in line. I like that.
Get in line, you know. But yeah. The funny thing of it is, to me, I said, I've known Ted for 10 years. We've done bazillions of interviews and things. I've never known him to be coerced into doing anything.
Absolutely, and I am a man with a mind of my own, and I think we all are in certain situations, but to talk me into a gubernatorial run or something of that nature, because, you know, once you run from that office, you might as well, vote for me to be president. Now, as a jokingly situation, I knew that was going to be far-fetched, but I've run into people now, and it's been 10 years or so, and they still think that this whole blessing that I received from the good Lord above, they think this whole blessing was just a year ago or two. People think they've seen recent articles and so forth, because I do photographs as well as do little video clips with people, and so they're sharing them on social media and all. So people do become accustomed to my personality and things that I think about, and you're the only one that gets me to talk about my mental health issue. You're the only station director or station manager personality that can get that out of me. Not being coerced into it, but being I can be myself around Scott Spear.
Well, your run for president and your run for governor, for whatever they were, I think most people think a third party is a long shot. I don't think we've ever had a third party president or a third party governor. But the thing of it is that I think people, and this is what bothered me about that story, not the part about the radio host. What bothered me was that they made you out to be a joke. You are an intelligent man. You couldn't be in the broadcast business if you weren't. You have a book out there that was released by a major company. Sold well. You've been on national television.
It's still selling. Amazon has reported some high volume numbers. It's still selling. And that book was released like 8, 9 years ago. And my mother was still alive then. My dearly party.
Oh, God. You're a veteran. You are somebody who's come back from homelessness.
Probably 7 years, I might add. Yeah. I mean, you might add.
And that's a joke? That's a joke to people somebody like that to run for governor? A veteran? I mean, I did not like the joke part. I guess that is what I didn't understand. If you don't want to run, you don't want to run. If you do, you do, whatever. But to make it into a joke, I didn't understand that.
I just want to assemble the right party people with me for the same agendas. And if I can do that, which I will do this June 21st this summer, I want to get knocked down to where when we go into the fall, that I will have a team assembled. And I believe I have the right starting people or skeleton staff, so to speak, of people that think that there would be a chance of becoming a party member as well as a running candidate, but also to be an assistant to the governor, and Blightstone can use me at some level of interest to our, people of the state of Ohio.
Ted, we got about 5 minutes left here. When people do refer to you
I got to go to the potty over in the mausoleum. Hold on. Okay, no,
when people refer to a run for president or a run for governor as a joke, how do you feel about that? I mean, it's an interesting adjective to use.
It's a very important position just to put on a joke burner. I know it's a very important position. I know I can lend a hand or I can do some things that would steer, you know, a certain group of people together and to, you know, it's not a joke. It's not a joke. These are things that are near and dear. And I have to evaluate to find out, is that part of my purpose? I always say this. Let me say it again. We all have a purpose in life. We all have our journeys. And God has given us all a gift. Or he's even given certain people multi-gifts. Now, I'd hate to think it's part of a... I love when they say the ancient, you know, the ancient astronaut theorists. You know, maybe we all have purposes through the supernatural. You know, I know it's God. That's who I would call anything as far as guidance or the person that I am is all in that, because God said he created us in his own image. And, you know, God must have had it. I think that in each gift that we possess, you know, the carpentry God, the radio God, or the communications God, the God of firefighters, the God of laughter, the God of healing, the God of, you know, we all, in any area that we possess gifts, we have a God of that. You know, it's like he created us in his own image. God must be up there laughing at some of the things. God must be up there pretty sad about the conditions of the earth. You know, this pandemic that we just, I don't know whether we're safely through it or whatever yet. I still hear a few numbers. You don't hear much anymore now that the former president is gone and we've got the present president. You know, the pandemic was predicted years and years ago. The influenza, the polio, many pandemics, you know, and we got through them all. Come to find out that in research of all of these top scientists and biochemists and all of these people, come to find out it's simply spread, not necessarily, it's airborne, but it's simply spread. Remember tuberculosis and all of those other, it's simply spread by people not taking a minute to wash their hands after using the restroom. Fecal matter, you know, in other circumstances. You know, I still go to places now and will stand in the restroom just for the sake of a census of people that actually use the bathroom and don't wash their hands at all, walk right out. You know, I told you about the guy. He shook his male junk over the toilet and then reached out to shake my hand after recognizing me, and I bumped him and said, man, wash your hands. Well, I'll shake your hand. You know, hang on. I wash my hands maybe 30 to 40 times a day. And, you know, and it's because I got this information through the media that people have, you know, all the people that have passed away, all the people who have gotten sick and all of it, simply because they had contact with someone who didn't wipe their butt. Or, you know, wash your hands. You know, wash your hands.
Well, it certainly is interesting. Now, I do want to let the audience know we're down to 2 minutes here. And tomorrow, Ted will be back with us in this hour.
Now,
tomorrow we're going to have something fun for the audience. I'm not going to tell them what it is. But if you remember the old David Letterman show, you're going to want to tune in tomorrow, because we're going to have a lot of fun with that.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, David Letterman's announcer, would you give me his name again?
Alan Coulter.
I love that they said you interviewed him. That would have been the highlight of my life, just like with Sam Donaldson and all of those people that have brought good feelings. Well, you know, when I watched Sam Donaldson, I knew that I was going to hear good news delivered properly and candidly, and all that, like Scott Lowell. All of these guys epitomize journalism or at least where we get our news. I idolize, pretty much idolize them guys. So when I hear that you've done interviews with people who I really look forward to ever meeting them, I'm jealous.
Well,
I'm jealous and envious.
Well, Ted, we'll talk about some of those people tomorrow along with our fun thing. Tune in tomorrow morning. Ted, it's been fun. We're down to the last 15 seconds. I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure as well. And keep listening to the guy who was running late today because of 23 car pileups at the mausoleum for the porta potty.
Thank you, Dad.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The voices you want to hear. From Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
What is something, because it's years later now, that would have been a huge show at the time, like a Dr. Quinn, like a David Letterman?
Uh-huh.
You okay? Okay.
Yeah.
The chair buckled over there, okay. For people listening, no, something that came in that would have been huge.
A huge...
Lost me at the time. A huge show that he did not do because
of something.
Because he thought, you know, it's just not me.
Yes, there is. Now, our chair keeper over there tells us we're almost up out of time.
I just about didn't survive that. Oh, my goodness.
but we have to. We didn't. That's the question. You don't know it, evidently,
yeah.
Right?
I have a prize. I'm hungry.
Oh,
you're hungry? Well, there's donuts. There's a whole box of...
No.
There's orange juice. There's coffee.
I got a friend out there.
There's
I bring her over. She's
there's a T-bone steak and...
Charlie, you know what you're gonna get. Five fingers.
Well, we can give you a delivery to take out to your friend, and we have the question, so you don't know it, right? You don't know. Well, I wish people would give them a really big hint so they'll call it.
Let's see. It's not Sandusky.
Yes, it is.
Holy.
Uh-oh.
Okay, you win a prize.
Is there a 7-second delay around here?
Oh, no. You're kidding.
No, you're right. Yeah.
She won a prize.
Didn't you ever notice when you go to Cedar Point, you pass a company that says Crayola on it? Or Crayon?
Oh,
American Crayon Company?
Four?
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, I didn't mean to say
anything can happen on WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet.